I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Helen.
I'm Janet.
I'm Mel.
I'm Philip.
I'm Tim.
In a previous episode, we had Mr. Philip Wang and Mr. Timothy Huang join us as two ABB guests in their 30s, where we were able to have some discussions about the difference of being in your 20s versus your 30s. Today, we're going to dive into a couple of other topics. Last time, we discussed career and lifestyle. Today, we're going to talk about dating and love.
Ooh. Oh, crack. For the record, Tim is from SF. He's down here for a weekend. Yes. So we wanted to record two episodes in one night. We took a break for dinner and we also took a shot of Hennessy. So with that said, we might sound a little less sophisticated than the last episode.
But much
episode.
More fun. That's the mood for this episode. Amazingly.
In case people are... Hi, this is Philip. I'm not drunk.
Yet.
In case people are only tuning in for this episode but didn't tune in to the previous, Tim, who are you? Why are you here?
Great question. So my name is Tim. I'm friends with Phil as well as Janet from college. And essentially I got invited to be on this panel slash conversation and super excited about that. From the SF Bay Area, 37, pharmaceutical marketing executive. My sign is I'm a Sagittarius. Woo! And I've always loved coming down to LA. So it was perfect timing to get together and be part of this conversation.
And how old are you, Tim?
He already said. Oh, okay. Tim needs another shot. You don't.
No, so yeah, Tim is like the corporate guy, but also the fun guy.
He is.
He's a great balance of both.
Yeah,
I agree.
Think that's why he's a guest here, right?
And he's single, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to let our listeners know where to find you online just right now in case they want to look while they're listening?
On TikTok.
Sure. On TikTok.
I don't know if that's the best place for people to have their first impression, or maybe it's the perfect place.
Could be. Mm. Well, I'll share my Instagram handle. How about that? It's at Fong Huang, Fong. Hwang. You can find lots of fun content there about me.
Did you spell it?
Just in case.
You know why Tim and I are just such great friends is because Fong Huang was his AIM screen name, his AOL Instant Messenger screen name. Wong Fu Phil, which it was also mine, and we both have kept the same screen name, handle, whatever you want to call it, through all these years.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what that means? That means we picked really good branding.
We did.
We're very confident and proud of our branding.
Extremely proud. None of us chose Asian Little Prince 1/4.
Exactly. We were above that back then.
Yeah.
I feel offended.
Me too.
We were BB extremes all the way, okay?
We're basic like that.
Okay, let's dive into some questions about dating. So when it comes to dating, either if you are single now and you're dating or when you were dating, is age a factor for you? Were you attracted to younger women, older women, women of the same age?
I think in my 20s, I was definitely not as open to dating someone older than me. Mm. As I'm in my 30s, I'm much more open in general to, you know, different ages, different women. And it's more about, for me, like life experience of what they've done previously or want to accomplish, not just like the number of their age. So that's how it is for me.
But how far would you go? You're 37. How far older would you go?
Maybe like 4 years.
Four years.
4 years up. On the opposite end, probably like 9 years.
Mm. Can I ask, is the 4 years plus because it's 4 years older than you or because of the specific age of 41?
More for the fact that I think, in my experience, the 4 years older is a good range where we still have like some common interests and have similar goals. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe a little bit older, they may have moved on to a different phase in their life.
Or you're at 5 years, like that's like a cutoff point of like, you're kind of in a different generation in some sense. Like not like full generation, but like, You weren't even in the same high school range, right? So like when you were a freshman in high school, they were already in college. So like your perceptions of like life are going to be pretty different from a early on age, maybe.
Yeah.
But then going younger, you don't mind 9 years.
To me, it's more about, so again, I'm 37, right? So 9 years would be 28. To me, 28 is a good cutoff of having established their career, know kind of like what they want to do next versus maybe trying to figure things out. I don't really think as a 37-year-old, I want to be guiding that process.
Yeah.
It's like a Mel.
Wait, so...
Yes, it is like a Mel. In fact, this is actually a broadcasted first date.
With guys, like, you have this whole thing about 4 years is a good amount of time to still be, have things that you relate to and everything. But for women, what, like, can women have that same feeling? Like, let's say for that girl who's 9 years younger than you, right? Mm-hmm. What if she feels the same way? Like, I can't go more than 4 years because of the same reason. That's legitimate, right? Mm-hmm. Or do you think the whole thing of, like, us relating to things within a certain number of years matters less to women?
Everyone's looking at me.
Basically, why do you think that matters to guys, but maybe matters less to women?
Like, that there needs to be a relatability thing? Or
That the age range matters.
I mean, what's your age range on your dating apps? Mine, I will go older into the 40s and then younger. I will only go about 2 years younger than me.
Actually, same. I put 2 years younger and then I went up 6 years.
And I think that is it because women mature much faster than men? So, for example, Tim, minus 9 because he's like, I relate to 28-year-old. Versus 48.
so yeah, you guys actually meet in the middle. Like a 28-year-old like female might actually be like already like mature enough in her 30s, and you are an immature 30-year-old.
Versus for women, see, like for you two, you to say like 2 years less, you know,
you're giving that guy the benefit of the doubt that's a mature.
Yeah, that's a mature. Yes.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I think. I mean, for women, I wonder also if there's a thing where like looking for an older man is more. I don't want to say socially acceptable, but I think it is. But it also, there's probably a reason behind it, right? Yeah. For the woman, for what she's looking for a stable home. For a man, I would assume that if you wanted kids or a family, that's why I asked, was it 4 years or 41? Because you're also thinking about the viability of that woman to be able to have kids, right?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I think it's a good point also in terms of the maturity too. Like, I agree. I think men are less mature or mature slower. And so it does take them to reach a certain age before they are at a place in their lives or in their heart or minds where they are ready to settle down.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it was funny. When I Googled this recently, I don't know why, but I think there is a difference between, like, it's 2 to 9 years of a difference. And that's exactly what has been stated here, right? Mm. 2 to 9 years of a difference for boys to mature to the level of where women are.
Right.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I think most guys always imagine, yes, they should be either your age or younger. So I think that was kind of where I was at. But I think what I relate to what Tim said is, obviously, if Helen and I weren't together, if I was in my 30s, I would definitely not want to go too far down into the 20s, because the main thing is I would be over trying to teach my partner or whatever, right? If anything, I think for guys, like, I think when you're in your 20s, you actually like feel good when you can teach someone, or when you feel like you have some kind of
dominance
or experience over over your partner. I think as you get older, you actually appreciate when your partner is like someone that is your equal and can actually teach you things. Right. And I think that comes with confidence, whereas like when you're younger, like you feel like maybe out of your own insecurities, you need to show off to this girl or you need to be able to teach her things. But later on, when you're more confident, you're like, yeah, I don't know, but you're an expert. I want to celebrate you. I want to learn from you. I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting perspective, that it takes a certain level of humility for a man to be with an older woman.
Or just like a more mature woman. Older, yeah.
Well, let's talk about more general dating.
What is the difference between dating in your 20s versus your 30s? And has your type changed throughout the years?
For me, I think in my 20s, it was definitely about this Hollywood style romance, you know, getting swept up in the emotions. And there's like a, you know, a rainstorm and you get caught in an alleyway. And then, oh, a girl gets caught too. And you share an umbrella, like this like weird, you know, image of what a relationship or dating should be like. I've definitely chased that. And I've learned a lot along the way. I think in my 30s, it is more a little bit about finding that partnership, right? Someone that you feel like has lived a degree of life already, but can still challenge you as well as compliment you in that kind of next phase of knowing yourself a little bit more, right? And building something together versus you impress me, I impress you, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's where things have evolved between my 20s and my 30s.
It's like she shows up with an umbrella.
Yes. Be responsible. Bring your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't just expect the umbrella like, to be there like, for
didn't
me
you
to
check the weather? I would actually, this kind of sad. Actually, like if I was with my girlfriend and we were traveling somewhere and they didn't bring an umbrella, I'd be like, why didn't you check? I agree. I think when you're younger, you base things off of like media, you base things off of like your ideals. And I clearly put that into like even my own work and everything. But I feel like I was always pretty realistic about love. I think even just in the shorts, there were like a lot of bittersweet endings and there was like a lot of sadness. When I was younger, I tried to create those romantic moments a lot more because I thought that that's what was true love. Like if you had to have these cutesy things, you had to have these big acts. And it's funny because like Helen like teases me or laments that, oh, I don't do enough like of those cutesy things anymore or as much. But it's like that's all like a facade if it's not backed by, you know, real understanding of your emotions and who you are, right? So as I've now in my 30s and now in this relationship, it's like much more confident that, hey, I don't need to do those like things.
I don't know about that, y'all. Self-justification.
It's just different now. I think the love is shown in a different way. And I said this, maybe I said this earlier, but younger me was all about like, what do you give me? And how is our love being shown through what you are to me versus now? I don't think I've ever shown anyone as much love as I have Helen.
Aww.
So you're welcome.
Not through the showy ways, apparently.
Not through like rainy umbrella holding.
Yeah, I do have a comment about this because just speaking of you two real quick, we were in Cabo. Actually, all of us were in Cabo back a few years ago.
And for my 30th birthday, yes.
Yeah, for Helen's 30th, and Phil planned it. And then I remember Wes saying to us, like, I know Helen's special because I don't think Philly did this for anyone else.
Oh, yeah, I planned Cabo.
And then Wes mentioned that, and I was like, oh, shit, like, yeah, that's a good point.
I forgot that I planned Cabo. This girl's always making me like, you don't do these things. And then, like, I'm always, like, struggling to think of all the, like, the things that I've done. And you know what it is? I do so many things, I even forget the things that I do. Like planning Cabo for us.
What else?
See, you're going to do this.
Cabo was a great trip. That was maybe like one of the best trips.
Great.
That we had. Cool. That was a good trip. Thank you for planning that.
All right. I want to talk to you 30-year-old men. I have a gripe. I am interested in men who are in their 30s. That is my age range. But I'm noticing that a lot of guys in their 30s still don't want to commit. And I think for me, it was kind of shocking because I'm like, oh, I thought at this age, that's the time maybe people want to settle down, start a family. But I don't know if you guys like have friends that are in their 30s and don't want to commit. Like, what is the thought behind that? Or if it, maybe you guys don't want to. No, you guys do want to commit. But like,
well, look, yeah, let's talk to Tim. He's 37. What's going on? Yeah.
Yeah, Tim.
I think if I were to oversimplify, it comes down to how you prioritize things in your life.
Why aren't you prioritizing committing to a woman?
Well, hold on. Let me get there in a second. You might prioritize your career. Mm-hmm. You might prioritize your free time, you know, to do whatever you want. You might prioritize even things with your own family, right? You might have a family situation where you're really investing in taking care of them. It also within relationships, you might prioritize the wrong things, right? Mm. So while you may be looking for a partner, you might be emphasizing, you know, these other factors that actually don't lead you to the right person.
Like, I just want to have kids.
Yeah. Or I just want to have someone who's fun to travel with, right? Fun to have experiences with. Or we have the same hobbies, right? And it's not to say those things can't come into play, but I think there does come a core of, you know, a number of characteristics that do ladder to a commitment. And you have to align on those things. So it's either you not defining those things for yourself and hence looking for those things, or when you're in a relationship, you're not investing on working on those things together. I think those, it could be any mix of what I'm talking about in terms of prioritization that prevents you from either finding the right person or actually settling down with the right person.
But then I would say that, you know, you're bringing up like, oh, some people might prioritize the wrong things in a relationship, but it could also be that some people have realized, hey, I'm willing to let some of those other things go as long as I have this, right?
Yep.
So they're, I think settling is the wrong word, but it's
compromise.
Like they compromise, or they know what they are willing to compromise, yep. and they're okay with it, right? So for you then to still be single at 37, like what of those things is it then?
I'll be honest. I think I did prioritize my career a lot. Mm-hmm. There were many years within recent years where I traveled every 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I dated women who we had good chemistry. We were interacting well. And they were looking for a very day-to-day commitment. Like, I want to see you. I want to be on the phone with you, whatever it may be. But if I was juggling being on a plane or getting my work done, still balancing time with my family and my friends, where did she fit in that mix, mm-hmm. right? So for me, I think my priority in investing in a relationship wasn't matching what I was saying, right? My actions weren't following through. That's one example. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, again, maybe I put too much of emphasis on one characteristic and put it really high up.
And you just can't find it.
Or it was the wrong thing, right? It might've been a really good, easy thing for me to find someone attractive, but it actually wasn't a good thing in terms of making a relationship work, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I actually think about, you know, going back to this idea of your 20s and your 30s, most couples I talk to that meet in their 20s and make it, they get married or they keep going into their 30s, they will undoubtedly say, we evolved together and we talked about it. It wasn't like, oh, you magically became this person that I stayed attracted to. Yeah, it was like we talked through it over the years that we kept aligning. And by keeping that alignment, our priorities stay at the top in the same way. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps the relationship going, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of maturity in both partners to be able to do that, you mm-hmm. know, to, and that's why I think, like, you know, what you said, and I completely agree, like when you get to the place where you're ready to commit to someone, it is about finding more of like, a business partner almost rather than just like
so romantic.
I'm sorry, but in order to do this whole negotiation essentially of like, hey, I'm different now, why aren't you different with me? Hey, you're different, I don't want to be there. It's literally negotiating mm-hmm. through the rest of your life, like how to live together and how to be a team, right? So the emotions obviously have to be there, and obviously attraction should be there, but like it's just as important to find that kind of place to meet mm-hmm. to talk about these things, right? I think to answer your question though, it's a number of things, like why guys aren't ready to commit. I think it's some things that Tim said. For me, as someone who has committed by their mid-30s, it wasn't like this snap of the fingers like, oh, I'm ready to commit, mm-hmm. right? I think every man is going through something internal, and it could be family-based, it could be previous relationships, it could be their own like psychology, whatever, but there's always some kind of baggage that I think does prevent people from committing. Yes, on the surface you could say, oh, that guy just likes to be a playboy, that's mm-hmm. why he's not committing, but there's a reason why he's mm-hmm. being a playboy, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes like getting to the bottom of that, it's obviously very difficult to uncover that if you're just meeting someone brand new, but mm-hmm. like if it's someone that you've been with for a very long time and they're just not committing or they're not ready, and let's say you've been dating for like 7 years, then you got to figure out like, okay, what's really going on here mm-hmm. that you're not ready, right?
Well, going back to Tim, I feel like, you know, you've been on several dates. Do you feel like you're at an age right now where you're just trying to you're calibrating to this like one person, this ideal person in your mind, and you kind of like see the characteristics and it's like a quick turn off because maybe it's like so many different experiences that have now jaded you into this like quick judgment, like I'm pretty sure she's not going to be the right one because I've come across someone just like her before. Like, is it getting more and more difficult because you've been on so many
dates before?
I think it's kind of both sides of the coin. I think in some circumstances, the more you date, the more you figure out those things that actually matter to you. And it's up to you to make those deliberate in talking about them with when you meet someone for the first time mm-hmm. or seeking that out. On the flip side, I think there are things that, yes, you feel like, man, I still prioritize this thing or I still value this thing and I haven't found that right kind of fit. Where I've personally landed is that I don't really go in with like a type. I think mm-hmm. there are characteristics I care about. But I think through learning someone, I can be pleasantly surprised. And that was something for me that I had to change, mm-hmm. right? I was much more like, I got to find this like configuration. And I think that slowed me down, right? It actually made me go after all the wrong women mm-hmm. for a number of years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I think, yes, you can be a little jaded. Yes, you can be a little bit exhausted. But hopefully when you're dating, you're actually learning more about how much you do care about something that eventually it does become a little more kind of like solid or clear for yourself. Mm-hmm. That's how I kind of think about it.
Do you feel like it's getting more solid and clear for you?
It is. And I actually think what I've learned outside of like finding that characteristic is more about me putting the effort in to finding that, right? Mm-hmm. I'll give an example. Like I love the experience of dating. I love planning first dates and doing things that are fun in the city that, you know, would maybe surprise someone, right? Oh, we're not just getting drinks. Like I planned this event for us. Mm-hmm. I still love that, right? But one thing I've learned about myself is that if I only focus on that, I'm easily then distracted by the experience. I'm actually not learning about that person in depth. Mm. So I've actually wasted more time.
You're doing it just to satisfy your desire to be that guy that shows them a fun, interesting time.
And having that, you know, magical moment, right? Talking about that romantic kind of scene, right? Mm. And I'm not saying you can't be romantic, but I think if you consciously know you want to find out these things about a person, you will integrate it into conversation. Maybe you even put yourselves into situations where you'll see these things happen, right? Maybe this is like a little too intense, but you know, I think a lot of women and men think about like kids and would I want to be with someone who loves kids? Maybe you can see them in a family or kid environment while you're dating and you can kind of notice like they might say they like kids, but at the family picnic, they run away from the like little toddler that's chasing them, right?
On the first date, Tim's like, let's go to this children's playground.
Well, if that's not creepy, I don't know what is. When you make conscious decisions to seek these things out,
right,
I do think your dating process becomes more deliberate.
Yeah.
And I think that's where things change.
I would definitely agree with that. I think that I can relate to the experience of liking to go on dates just to go on dates. And then oftentimes, like if I hang out with someone, even if I'm not interested in them as a partner, like I'll know within 5 seconds, but I'm like, I've committed to this night, so we're just going to have a good time. Mm. That's someone who's dating to date and not dating for a partner. Mm. So I think it definitely does take a conscious shift. And I struggle still with doing
that. Well, I think between the two of you, at what age, because I feel like this is a very much like a 20s versus 30s thing. Mm. 20s, you're like just expecting your goddess or your knight in shining armor or whoever to just like land on your lap, right? And now you're like, you're making concessions and you're like compromising, or you're just more open to experience and not being so stuck on like, it has like, this person's just going to fall in my lap. Yeah. At what age did that sort of switch for you?
I don't think it's necessarily age dependent. I think it's experience dependent. And I think after you've been through enough relationships or dated enough people, I think you get a reality check about what really makes sense and what's going to actually bring you happiness. There definitely is the type of person that quote unquote settles, right? But what I'm saying here is not necessarily settling. It's just like understanding, like, you know, what's the ultimate goal that you're trying to get to? And there's no such thing as a perfect situation or a perfect person. And the sooner that you acknowledge that, the sooner you can decide like what your perfect combination is. Like almost like if you can imagine, like, you know, when you, like, you're choosing Mario Kart carts and it has like, those bars of like handling, acceleration, yeah, weight, whatever. It's like, there's no perfect car. But you have to decide, hey, actually, I prioritize this bar more. And of course, those other things are going to be filled out. But like, how much of those other things do I want to be filled out, right? Mm-hmm. When you can get as close to what you think would make you happy, then I think that's where you need to understand like, hey, it's okay that I don't have that other thing complete. Because at the same time, I think another thing that you learn through multiple relationships and through age is that you have a lifetime to develop things too, right? And you can learn how to increase a certain meter, or you can or teach that, you know, in your partner. And if that other partner is willing to adjust and be open and like you were saying, like,
grow with you,
yeah. It's like a relationship is living. It's not a snapshot of this is who you are forever, and I have to make sure that who you are right now is who I'm going to be happy with for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. That's what I think a lot of people in their 20s do. Mm-hmm. That's what I did for sure. Mm-hmm. I would look at my girlfriend and I would say, this is who you are right now, I don't like it, or this isn't going to work. Mm-hmm. But it's like, how am I supposed to know? Mm-hmm. You know, like you can, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't want to extrapolate too far and blow things out of proportion. But like, sometimes like it's good to like give certain people the benefit of the doubt. Like I forgot who told me, but it's like, you shouldn't date the person that you're with right now. You should be dating the person you believe that they're going to be. Is that bad advice?
Without putting too much pressure on them to be that person, though, that you want them to be versus their own individual selves and their goals.
You know what they're like. You can tell from them what they want to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you shouldn't put expectations on someone, but like if they're telling you, "Hey,
I want to be something different than what I am,"
and we're all works in progress, right? So like, don't judge me for just this, right? Can't you see where I'm going?
Yeah, and that's very different than like meeting someone and expecting them to change or wanting to change. It's like understanding that they have a personal thing they want to change and believing that they'll
change. Y'all are so mature right now. I love this. Mel, is this where you're at too?
Yeah, totally. No, I was going to add to this because like as Phil was talking, then Janet added, it's like I think it's also very dangerous because I've been there before to date for someone's potential. Because I think what Phil's saying is that if they express to you that I want to be this person, then you're seeing that that's a belief or like an actualization versus like you're like, oh, I think you have so much potential to be this. But then if they don't want that for themselves, it's a little different, you know?
There are definitely caveats to that. One is if they're saying they want to be something, you need to there needs to be evidence that they're actually
potentially could achieve doing that.
They can't just be like, dude, I'm going to trust me, babe, I'm going to be a millionaire. But they're playing video games all day. Right. At the same time, you also don't want to be putting that like you believe it and they don't want it.
Yeah.
Because then you're not being fair fair to either of you. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not to add another dimension, but I think a lot of times we think about dating. We think about what is this person bringing to me? Mm. And there's a lot of things that actually a person can encompass that is not about their partner. It's about admiring who they are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Phil and I have actually a really great childhood friend where one of the things that he says that he loves his wife about the most is that he sees her care for others, even if it doesn't mean he gets that same level of care. But he admires it so much and he knows that's like a core of who she is. Like that adds to the attraction. That adds to like her character, right? So I think, again, to Phil's point of like, it's maybe not an age. It is about experience. It is about different people you meet. Or even when you're single, the things that you notice that you value in seeing other people's relationships or thinking through in your singleness the things you do care about, that can add up to not just, again, what I need to receive, but also admiring someone for who they are, right?
This gets really tricky too because obviously we're giving very broad advice and it varies from person to person. Like even this whole advice of like, believing in someone that they can like that's dangerous too because I know lots of friends mainly girls actually that stick with a guy who's just clearly not good for them but they just believe in their potential or I think that's the whole like archetype of like the bad boys and nice girls is like the good girls want to believe that they're going to come around or they're going to be different right and it's like it's just so yeah like I think there's a very fine line I will say there's a very fine line between a relationship that needs work and a relationship that doesn't work. And a lot of people get that mixed up and they'll make excuses for, oh, no. This is not a relationship that doesn't work. This is just a relationship that needs work. So I'm going to put in more work. I'm going to stick it out. When it's actually the opposite. They're like, no, this relationship does not work. Stop putting in
that. That's when you're wearing the rose-colored glasses that you don't see the red flags.
Right.
Yeah.
Next question. What is the most attractive thing about a person and what is the most unattractive thing about a person? And has your perspective shifted from your 20s to now?
There's this one Jay-Z song. Like, was it, can I get in the morning?
What?
The can I get in the morning?
Without giving you half of my dough.
So there's yes, very good, Janet. I'm very surprised. There's a female verse on that. Her verse was like, ambition makes me so horny or whatever.
That's right.
And I was like, you know what? I relate to that. So I think in my 30s, ambition is what makes me very attracted to someone because it goes along with what we were just saying where it's like, oh, this is the future that they see for themselves, that they're working for themselves. So it's not just like pipe dreams, but they're actually putting in the energy and the sweat into doing it. So when I see that, in the moment, I'm attracted to that hustle and that dream. And then I'm also attracted to, hey, I believe that you're going to get there. So I'm also attracted to that person too.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like double. It's like I get the present and the future.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Mm. So that's what I like to project as well. Like I want to be that type of partner as well. But like in my 20s, like, that was definitely not something that I think about. And I actually feel really sad about that sometimes because I think about relationships that I had where my girlfriends at the time did have ambition and like they were saying, I'm going to go back to school for this or I'm going to change careers for this. And I totally just didn't value that at all because I was like, yeah, but you know, we're not having fun right now, you know, or like, oh, but you're not giving me enough attention right now. And it's like, dude, like I could have been, should have been more supportive along the way. And I didn't value that. Yeah. So that's something that I regrets too, that's too strong of a word, but like, I know that I wasn't a good partner because I wasn't giving them that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll maybe say in a different way. I love it when a woman has like a personal passion And it can be a subject matter. It can be people, right? It can be all kinds of things. But I think not only does it add to the relationship where they can teach me something and they have this drive that continues on, I think it also for me establishes that they have a level of independence, right? And I value that because I also like my independence to a certain degree. So if they have their personal passion, I have my personal passion, I think that keeps us moving and growing as people. But we also have that kind of natural attraction of supporting and respecting that passion that the other person has.
Was it like that in your 20s though?
No. So that's definitely something in my you know, late 20s, yeah, going to my 30s.
But I've always wanted independence though. That's the baseline. Yeah. Like no matter what, all my girlfriends, like I never wanted someone that was like
needy
and clingy. It's like, where are you today? Why aren't we doing well? You know, like, yeah.
Like, aren't you kind of needy and
me?
Clingy? Yeah.
No, dude, This sounds terrible. Like, yeah, like I had girlfriends, like we both lived in LA and I would see her like once a week. Mm. And like, because I was so busy and that was enough for me.
You're saying Philip's needy of me?
I think it's a little bit. I was like, at
this time. This girl was in Boston for like 10 days. I was like chilling. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but I remember because like we'll be on like tours and you're like, I have to send a photo to Phil. I was like, why?
Oh, she's needed me. Oh,
no,
oh,
no, because you expected.
Like, you guys check in a lot as a couple.
No, I think that's just because we want to.
I think one of the things in my 20s that is still a distraction today is I really value
the booty. Just kidding.
No comment. No. With someone who's really fun, right? Because I think as an extrovert, I really like the social scene. I like someone who can compliment me if we were a couple, being out and, you know, almost like getting the energy up together. And again, I'm not saying you need to lose sight of those things. It's where does that fall on that ladder for you, right? How much of a priority is it? And what does fun mean to you personally in your 30s, right? I think that's evolved for me as well.
You wanted the manic pixie.
Well, yeah, maybe.
The what?
Yeah.
Oh, the manic pixie.
You never heard
what?
Of this?
The manic like a drunk Tinkerbell?
No, the manic pixie, it's like basically there's all these movies in like the 2000s and even before this, but like the term came up in the 2000s where all these movies were about like these boring guys that were like lost and this exciting girl comes into the life and brings them so much experience and fun and they're like, oh, I don't want to do this, but like, come on, let's just go do it, right? So for example, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Garden State, like there's so many that are like that.
I can see that.
And so like it was criticized later on of like, oh, like these are just writers that are just writing their manic pixie dream. Manic pixie dream girl. It's like this girl doesn't exist. Someone who's like so fun but is attracted to this like deadbeat loser, you know, like does make sense.
Is Phil calling me a deadbeat loser? Because I can sign off at any time.
No, sorry, I was explaining that.
So on the flip side, the thing that's unattractive, I could probably say in a number of different ways. I don't like it when a person is two-faced. And maybe that leads to someone who lies a lot, right? Because I feel like it's twofold. One is obviously they are deceiving others and
have you met people that lie?
You would be surprised. I think there are a lot of people out there that are either insecure or want to uphold a certain image that they'll act a certain way in certain settings. And then behind the scenes, they'll just like totally rail on those people that they said they were friends with identify with, right?
Wow.
And to me, you know, I think for me, it's like I would then have this inherent fear like, who am I with? Is this person tricking me, right? And that could lead to bigger things down the line of like infidelity or even me being deceived to agree or make decisions on something where actually that other person is not in line with that.
Thankfully, I feel like I've never met any like truly like terrible people that I was like, that's unattractive. If I can't verbally spar with them, that's usually a letdown. Like I need to be able to like go back and forth, quips or whatever.
Banter?
Banter. I have to have good banter. And it's all and not necessarily like it has to be like always intellectual things or whatever. But like I remember in my 20s, like I used to always have like the Target date where it's like where you just go to Target or you just and just see like, can you enjoy just shopping at Target together and finding things to like talk about and share things through what you guys are shopping for. Like it was so simple. And it's like, if we can do something this simple, then we can get along in like our daily lives, right? So like, that's kind of how, I just, good conversation.
Actually, I think the first time that we had a Target date, I heard this from you before from like
So you're
something.
Trying really hard.
And I just remember like, oh my gosh, this is the moment.
Oh my gosh, he's taking me to Target. That means it's serious.
It's a test. Oh my gosh, I love Method products. They're so simple.
Not sponsored, by the way.
I could tell you were also testing me. Because you like took me to the Lego section and you were like, let's look at these. So just like, see how excited I
was. That's not a test. That's literally what I do when I go to Target. I go to the Lego section. And if you don't want to enjoy that time with me,
but I think
the
exit's
like, right there.
I think you were like extra like, you know, like showy that day.
Oh.
So you're like, this is it. And I was like, okay, this is it.
And then we went home and made love. No, I'm just kidding.
Skillshare is a sponsor of today's episode of Asian Boss Girl. In this episode, we interviewed Philip and Tim and discussed the topics of dating and love. We know it's been difficult for some of you singles out there with quarantine going on, but why not use this time to build on yourself?
Skillshare offers tons of classes, content, and community workshops to develop those interests and turn them into real-life passions and even desired qualities in a partner. They offer topics like easy yoga for self-love, or if you're feeling creative, interior design basics, or even something fun like learn piano in 30 days. Explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity with classes from Skillshare.
Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/ABG and get 2 free months of premium membership. That's right, Skillshare is offering Asian Boss Girl listeners 2 free months of unlimited access to thousands of classes. Head to skillshare.com/ABG. This one is for the mamas and papas out there. We've all had to adjust to the new normal of wearing masks, always remembering to keep our faces covered when we leave our homes. But from my friends who are parents, I have heard that it has been a particular struggle to find a mask that your little ones will wear and keep on their faces. We are happy to share with you all Crayola School Mask Pack.
Each school mask pack comes with 5 comfortable cloth masks, so your child has a fresh mask with a new design every single school day. All masks are built with a 3D design, a form-fitting nose wire, and adjustable ear straps. Their masks are machine washable and come with a mesh laundry bag for convenient cleaning, and a calendar to track your daily usage so you and your little one can stay organized.
As an added bonus, Crayola School Mask Pack will donate a portion of your purchase to a charity of your choice that supports kids who have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. We're recommending the Crayola School Mask Pack to you and all the other parents we come across. Get your family the Crayola School Mask Pack today at schoolmaskpack.com/ABG. That's schoolmaskpack.com/ABG.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot! That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, we see you and we've got you. Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You
We talked about unattractive, maybe personality traits. What about physical traits? Were there things you found unattractive in the 20s?
I'm going to ask you all to answer that first. I want to know.
That's fair.
Yeah. Mm. What physical features of a man did you like in your 20s, and has it changed into your 30s?
Oh, now we're talking about attraction.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, versus unattractive. Let's just, okay.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Physical attraction, I would say I like nice faces. Listen. Okay.
All right, all these guys are going, I'm going to work out my face tonight.
So it's nice. True.
Okay, because are you a body person or a face person? I prioritize face.
Okay, like, what in the face?
I like symmetrical, pretty boy faces.
Specifically, specific features in the face.
Ever since your 20s.
Eyes, nose, eyes, nose, lips. Eyes, nose, lips, cheeks, skin.
It's like the facial structure.
Nostrils. So it could be someone that has small eyes but good bone structure, or big eyes and good bone structure.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay, it's what works for their face. I don't know.
All right.
I mean, I have a less popular answer. I mean, it's probably pretty popular, but it's like not very PC.
Go for it.
Height. I do care about height. Yes, I have also dated a lot of men who are on the shorter spectrum.
Right. You've talked about this in past episodes. You didn't explain yourself. It's all right.
What about you, Mel?
I've always found the forearms to be very attractive. It's just nice to look at. And they usually can work a nice watch.
A lot of girls say that.
Yeah.
It's the most exposed part of the arm.
But that's the same for your 20s and 30s.
Yes.
Okay.
Are we talking about unattractive quality,
sure,
too?
Yeah.
I hate saying this, but like, I think sometimes when I look at that stands out that's unattractive is like a bad smile.
Mm, yeah.
What's
yeah.
a bad smile?
Ooh, I have one.
My teeth, right?
That works. Also, I feel like in 20s, I didn't care so much about hair for men.
Oh.
But now in the 30s, I think because it's a reflection a little bit of like hygiene and style now that I didn't really care as much.
Also, not necessarily if they have it or not.
Yeah, no. I've dated bald guys. But like, it's just more like if you show up and your hair's like, you know.
I see. That's why I wear hats. Yeah, Tim's like, oh, Tim, looking good. All right, Helen, yeah.
Helen.
I'm trying to think. I mean, like, I think I've always been attracted to someone's smile because I think you can tell a lot from someone's smile if it's, like, genuine, if they're, you know, you can kind of, like, read into their soul from both their smile and their eyes,
That's what I said, you know? Yeah. No, just kidding.
He said forearm, okay? I want him to wear a nice watch. But I think now, like, that's still important, but I think maybe this not in my 20s, is more like in your teens, where it's like boys didn't have that many physical features. But the older that I got, the more it's like...
We were blobs in high school.
Basically, right? Basically, you're like Gumby.
Yeah.
But now it's like they have like nice shoulders, nice like, you know, biceps, pecs.
Just listing literally everything.
Every part of the body.
Cool.
But like that now I see like if they take care of themselves, like or care to take care of themselves, like that, you know, pops a little bit more.
Right.
And in my 30s, I can see that.
Mine's, I guess, a little bit of what Mel and Helen are getting at. For me, it's the attractive thing is smile/laughter, right? Because for me, like seeing someone who has joy in life and like I can like laugh about the small things with them as well as like the big whatever things, right? That to me, it gets me energized, right? So if someone doesn't smile at all, that's my unattractive side, right? And I, you know, it sounds a little weird, but I definitely have dated women who would verbalize something being funny. Like, that's so funny.
And
then not laugh. And I'm like, oh my gosh, am I dating a robot? Like, this is definitely not for me, right?
I quantify that as humorous.
Ha ha, you scored a 6 out of 10 on the humor scale. Yeah. So, I mean, you could go both ways. What's attractive to me versus unattractive?
Question for Tim. What if she was like an amazing girl, beautiful smile, terrible laugh?
Oh, like an obnoxious laugh?
Sorry. Yeah.
I think I'd be okay with that.
Okay.
I think I'd be okay with that.
Have you ever dated a girl like that before?
To a degree. Probably not like Janice from Friends.
Or
Fran Drescher, the nanny.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Let's take it back. What if it was a voice? How important is an attractive voice?
Oh, like a weird, like cartoony voice or like
super deep
voice?
People are into different voices. So just one that you don't like.
But they were perfect.
I think for me, voice doesn't bother me as much as some other people.
Okay.
I think I can get over it.
I feel like we're being very PC. Oh, the smile, the laughter.
All right, what's your answer?
What gets you going? What gets the blood pumping?
Yeah, actually, what does?
I mean, I think in the right setting, if a girl can look at me and give that like
smirk,
that smile, like, you come get me, but I want you to come get me. You know?
That's what Mike Bo said during our episode 58. Throwback.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is that that requires an interaction already. Mm. Just as let's put on the male gaze. For the male gaze. I think when I was in my 20s, I didn't think about legs as much. Mm-mm. As much. And now I definitely appreciate like legs and also backs now. I like a nice back.
Hmm. Those are all qualities that Helen has. Is that where the appreciation develops?
No.
Thanks, guys.
Those are also qualities I have. That's why we're talking about this. I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way. For me, I think there is some component of like proportionality. Right?
Yeah.
Like no matter what your body shape, body type is, you can still have some proportionality within that. You know, again, let's maybe reference these Hollywood music videos. It's like, oh, let me have like super big boobs or super big butt. Yeah. But then the rest are like so proportionally off. Like for me, that's not as attractive.
Yeah,
right? So again, it can work with different body types, body shapes. Yeah. It's proportionality.
That's why I think when people are like, oh, I'm like a butt guy or I'm like a boob guy. I'm like, I don't get it. It's like, no, it's got to work with everything that's there. Right? I feel like it's very simple-minded to just be like, I see boob, I like. I feel like that's really
boobs
dumb.
Boobs or butt, go.
But.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
But it used to be boobs. It has evolved for me from my 20s to my 30s. There you go. Yeah.
I think what for me, like, it's because like you realize that boobs you can't really do much about, but like butt actually shows that you can actually change that.
Oh, it's a muscle versus fat, you're saying.
Right.
Boobs, totally. A lot of people.
Okay, sure. But I'm saying like if someone takes care of their butt, you can tell that better than if someone takes care of their boobs.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So think back to all of the dates that you've been on. What is the worst date you've ever been on and why?
I haven't been on that many dates, to be honest. Tim and I are very different. Like I don't want to say serial dater, but like I was not a prolific dater. Like if I would go on dates with girls that would only become my girlfriends, if that makes sense. Mm.
Did you ever have a bad one of those dates?
I did have a couple of bad dates with a girl that I was interested in. The reason why it was bad is just, it was just bad conversation. I just couldn't get anything out of this girl.
Give us an example.
I don't remember. I just remember like, it was just so boring. Like we were playing pool and like there's like we're just playing pool, you know. Mm. And then like there's just no one's talking. And
did you try? And it was just,
of course, yeah. But I think, yeah, thinking back, I think she was like still hung up on like her own baggage and stuff. So like I don't think there was just no chemistry, but it's like we still tried.
Mm-hmm. How about for you, Tim?
Okay, so I went on a date once with this girl and we met online and we decided like let's go to a place that has little atmosphere. But since it was one of the first times we had hung out, we'll go and get some drinks, like very easy, maybe takes the edge off a little bit. Makes sense, right? So we go to this tiki themed bar, right? So lots of cool, you know, decor everywhere. There's like a little bit atmospheric music. And actually the bartenders and the owner are like thematically in, you know, like Hawaiian gear and they're like playing up the theme, right? So it's like really good people watching. Perfect atmosphere to like break the ice. So we started talking, it was going really well. And we, of course, had a drink, right? And after the first one, I, of course, asked, like, oh, like, do you want another drink? We don't have to. We can also, like, walk around. All right, this is in San Francisco. Very small, easy, like, walkable city. And she goes, oh, let's have another drink. Like, I can drink a lot. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. So we order another drink. And I think the one thing that is the common known trend is that tiki drinks are very tasty, but they can also be very strong because they're so sweet, right? You don't actually taste the alcohol. Yeah. So, okay, we're now about three drinks in and, you know, it's fun. It's like playful, getting along pretty well. And we're like, let's go to another bar. We've been here for long enough. So we start walking outside and you can just tell there's this like change of the guard where the alcohol is like brewing and it's hitting her. So it went from this like sweet conversation to this somewhat blackout drunk girl like punching me in the face while we're walking. At one point in time, she like Mike Tyson bit my ear, tried to force me to give her a piggyback ride, and it was just a mess, right? I mean, I was so turned off by this like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation, and so I eventually did walk her home because she didn't live too far away, and it was actually my excuse to say, let's stay together, but not go to another bar, right? So just keep walking. So I drop her off, and she actually asked in her kind of like drunken state, was that fun for you? And I was like, why don't we talk about it tomorrow? And I actually then texted her the next day and said like, oh, you know, I'm not really sure if we're on the same page of our alcohol tolerance and what we like to do from a nightlife perspective. And we kept in touch a little bit from there, but maybe you call it quick judgment. I just kind of had that feeling that we weren't the same person, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I
she was too.
I kind of ended it from there. Yeah.
Now we see your fear of, or what did you say? Two-faced was one of your things that you found.
Yeah. Like surprises are fun sometimes. Yeah. I also have been somewhat catfished actually on a dating app. Yeah. She was who she was in terms of personality. She actually had used her roommate's photos.
Oh, that is not.
Yeah.
Okay. Did her roommate know?
I don't know, actually. I never really asked her that. I was just so shocked when I met her. So basically her photo looked like she was, let's say, some type of Asian Caucasian mix. And she turned out to be Latina. And she didn't look, you know, ugly.
Was it close?
It wasn't. That's the thing. It wasn't close. I mean, I literally went into the restaurant slash bar and could not figure out who it was until she had like basically chased me down.
Well, what did she say? Was she just like, surprise?
She basically said like, oh yeah, I really like my roommate's pictures and I figured we'd meet in person pretty soon anyway.
Oh what? My God. And that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah. And that goes back to my whole thing about being deceived, right? Yeah. I was immediately checked out. And the date was like 40 minutes long because I was just like not into it.
You even gave her 40 minutes?
I would have just been like, I'm sorry. I showed up to this date for this person right here on my phone and this is not the person I'm talking to.
Wow.
Buyer beware.
I'm so glad I don't have to deal with these things.
Okay. So we've heard about some of the bad dates you've been on. Mm. What is the best date that you've ever been on?
So for me, I'll preface it by saying I think this date was very give and take for both of us, right? We both added into the night as it progressed. So I actually had met this girl at like a friend event, you know, a week before we actually went on our first date. And so we already knew each other. We had already gotten some common, like, you know, baseline chemistry, right? We knew there was some attraction there. And so we had set a date to go out on. The main part of the date was actually just to go to dinner. Right. So I made a reservation at this like pretty nice restaurant, but it's like a more contemporary modern place. So it's not too stuffy. And I was really into this girl. Right. I just felt like, man, we have so many compatible traits. So I really wanted to wow her. So the day of, I actually sent like a small bouquet of flowers to her house.
Oh, my God.
For in the card, I actually just wrote the word "see you tonight." So I didn't even sign it because obviously she's seen me. Right.
Yeah.
So she got flowers, you know, like later in the afternoon. Right. She got ready and then we met up for the dinner. And the dinner was great because much like this podcast, it was very like asking each other questions. Like both of us were generating a lot of dialogue. Mm. It got to the point where the dinner was about like 3 hours long and she had anticipated to end at that point and we would maybe say goodbye. But it was going so well. She actually asked me if I would be comfortable going with her to her friend's birthday party, which I thought was like a really big move. Yeah. And actually we had dressed up for dinner. It's like, sure, let's go. So we went and I probably just missed this at the very like forefront of her inviting me, but it turned out her friend's birthday party was at a club. So we basically went clubbing for like an hour and a half, 2 hours with her friends. It was again, like I wanted to give her space, but she integrated me in the group and it was a lot of fun. And we were both kind of tired at that point. So we're like, okay, let's just like leave. Right. And again, I thought the date was over, but you know, a very solid date in terms of a lot of interaction.
Yeah.
But she said, you know, she definitely prompted this, which made me feel really good. She's like, I don't want this night to end. So we actually went back to my apartment and got my car. Okay. I had to make sure that came out quickly. And we drove to Twin Peaks in San Francisco, which is like a very scenic area. And it was so freaking cold, right? Like super windy, crazy. Mm-hmm. And luckily I had like this one like blanket that we could like sit under and we just kept talking.
Convenient.
Yeah, yeah. He just keeps it in his car.
Well, it's for emergency, guys. I mean, like, you know, what if you get caught on the side of the road?
With a girl.
And then at the end of that, you know, it was getting pretty late. So then, you know, I took her home and dropped her off at home. And I guess like for me, if I had to recap, it was like we had a really set event and it was romantic on its own, but it was like this thing where there was a little bit of unpredictability. Mm. There's a lot of, again, good dialogue, give and take. Like we had both emotionally kept the date alive, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't have to be extravagant from like a dollar spent perspective. For me, it was more like we were both all in for that night. So that's one of my, you know, best date stories.
Where's she at now?
Well, she's married with child, so... Hey,
guess it wasn't a very good date.
No, it was good. I mean, we tried to make it work, and through actually, again, the things we talked about earlier, really trying to understand each other, there were some things that we both prioritized and eventually couldn't get to that level where we agreed on those things or could deliver on those things. So
two-faced. Ugh. How about for you, Philip?
Philip,
what was your best date that you've ever had?
It was with Helen.
Wait, was it?
Next question, please. No, I think what Tim says is I can't think of one particular thing, but it's those times when, yeah, like night keeps going.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's not because one person's forcing it, but it's like there is always that one, not awkward, but that one moment of like hesitation is like, I want this to keep going. Do they want it to keep going? And I think when both people feel that, and they're both, and you feel that mutual relief that they want to keep going, that's always nice. And I think I've felt that definitely through different courting periods, I guess. And I think like when I was like younger, like in the 20s, like it was like really simple stuff. It's like, yeah, like you're getting boba, or you're getting froyo or something. And you know, as you get older, it turns into, you know, like early on with like Helen, like we would start at like one bar and then we would go dancing at another one, keep buying drinks, you know, and you end up at another spot and another spot. And it was always nice to feel like both people wanted to be around each other. Yeah. Mm. So it's simple. Yeah. It's not like, I think whoever's listening, like you don't need to like try to wow them with like spectacle and stuff. Like it's best to be like authentic and real and see if y'all can survive at that level first.
Actually, I think the first date we went on, it was like there was a daytime part of it, and then we kind of like, we're like, okay, that was like the end of that. And then you texted me and we're like, what are you doing for dinner tonight?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was just like, okay.
So what'd you guys do during the day?
We just went running. Yeah, we went jogging.
Strangers again? Park.
Yeah.
Strangers again?
Basically.
And he was trying to keep up with me. It actually was like Strangers Again.
And then like after I dropped her off, I was like, oh, I want to see her again. And then I asked her like, what are you doing for dinner? And I knew she had no plans because she's a loser, so.
Wow.
Just kidding.
Takes one to know one.
Dang, wow. Off to the races on this fun relationship.
And I pronounce you husband and wife.
The one thing the one thing I would almost emphasize between Phil's story and my story, even if it's not extravagant, there's still effort involved.
Yeah.
Like, be deliberate. This is not about like, oh, it'll work itself out. I mean, I think women appreciate, men appreciate that effort being put in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just saying like, you don't have to like get a hot air balloon.
Right.
Yeah. But like, at least know what restaurant you're going to.
Right. Totally.
What's the best dating or relationship advice you've given to a close girlfriend? I mean, Phil, you have given me advice when I was going through a breakup. Do you remember anything?
Did I? Do you remember anything? If you don't remember, that probably wasn't good advice.
I remember it was like a real epiphany moment for me because I think...
Oh, I gave you an epiphany?
You did, nice. Actually. I know, right? But you said that like a lot of guys are going... Like you mentioned earlier, like a lot of guys are going through things and people work in levels. Like, you know, they can't hop from level 7 to 10. They have to go through and like unlock these certain levels. It's like unlocking the sense of maturity and emotional awareness that guys unfortunately learn through relationships and experiences. And for me, I think it was so frustrating because I'm like, why can't he get it? Why doesn't he just want to commit all this stuff? You're like, maybe he's just not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving me that example of like unlocking levels.
The visuals.
Yeah. And you said that that's how you learned through multiple relationships to get to where you are.
And I think it's hard for like people in general to hear when it's like, oh, I was just the lesson.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I wasn't the destination or whatever, you know. Yeah, that's always sucky to feel. But you have to think about this, that whoever you end up with, there were lessons that led that person to you, right? So it's a give and take. You're gonna get it some at some point, but then you also have to like be okay with, you know, letting some people go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably something you have to get very personal in terms of this comment. But I think oftentimes, especially when you're the one being dumped, you think about like, what did I do wrong or what's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes I think it's more about like what wasn't working in the relationship. If you are able to remove yourself emotionally, you start to see the signs of maybe we weren't actually connecting on a deeper level, or maybe I wasn't valuing this about them or they weren't valuing these things about me. And so it's a little bit more of separating this idea of like you are something wrong or you did something wrong versus like the relationship had holes and maybe you can identify them or maybe you won't, but at least you should give it that attempt, right? That's like something I think about in terms of a breakup and maybe not being so obvious of why it didn't work.
Mm. All right. So, you know, this is an episode kind of comparing 20s and 30s. You know, as you guys are in your 30s, do you feel jealous of younger men?
I feel like based on everything we just said, I think it's pretty clear that I don't feel jealous whatsoever because we have grown so much.
Mm.
We're not putting up with the same bullshit. We're not as lost. We're not dealing with the same insecurities. I am so not jealous of my 20-year-old self.
I like how you're saying we, and Tim's probably like,
No, I agree.
I wish I had my 20-year-old metabolism. That's for sure.
Maybe a twist on that question. I think sometimes I feel like I'm doing the right things. And maybe if a younger woman isn't recognizing those things, I can get a little bummed out, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that is where that spectrum of dating comes into play, right? You date someone, quote unquote, more mature, they might recognize some of those like simple day-to-day things that actually are really important. And I'm maybe consciously making that effort. So again, I agree. I'm not jealous of younger men or my younger self, but more like there comes a point in everyone's life where they recognize certain things versus they won't recognize certain things. So yeah.
Hey, ABGs and ABBs, we're not going to deny the fact that we're living through difficult, uncertain times. Even though all three of us check in with each other, we also know how important it is to speak with a trained professional. Taking care of our mental health is extremely important, and talk therapy is a method we've all been using. We are partnering with BetterHelp, an online counseling service available to our listeners worldwide.
They assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist with whom you can communicate through messaging, phone calls, or video sessions. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. These past few weeks have been quite challenging for me, and having my weekly video sessions with my therapist have been something I look forward to.
BetterHelp is also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Visit betterhelp.com/ABG10. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join over 800,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. That's better, H-E-L-P, to claim a special offer for ABG listeners, 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/ABG10. Sending all our ABGs and ABBs love. We hope you're doing okay.
As we're entering into an age of supporting the smaller businesses, ask yourself, why have I always stuck with the same network provider? Between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, maybe there's an alternative that will provide the same premium network coverage, but at a fraction of the cost. Well, there is.
Enter Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides everything online and saves on retail locations and overhead costs, then passes those savings directly on to you. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number, along with all of your existing contacts.
To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/ABG. That's mintmobile.com/ABG. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ABG.
Thank you to so much, Tim and Philip, for being here with us today, sharing all the juicy dating details and love details of yours. We've learned a lot about you both, and we really appreciate it, especially as our first pair of men to be on this podcast in their mid-30s. So thank you for your sage advice.
So wise.
Dude, we loved it. Yes. I'm not sure if anything was helpful, but... Hopefully entertaining.
We're going to do the 40-year-old version of this in a few years.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear this and be like, oh my God, we're such idiots.
Well, we have some partnerships that we are happy to share with you all. So look for links and codes in our show notes. And for more partnership discounts, head to our website at asianbossgirl.com/partners.
We also have a new line of merch out, our summer 2020 collection. You can get yourself the Badges Tee, Ollid's Tee, a classic canvas tote, and a variety of fun pins. Head to asianbossgirl.myshopify.com to get yours today.
You can find us on all the podcasting platforms. We are Asian Boss Girl. Follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, and leave us a rating and review. If you'd like to support us through monthly donations, you can do so at anchor.fm/AsianBossGirl/support.
We are also very active on our social. Our handle is @AsianBossGirl. If you resonated with today's topic, if you're an ABB in your mid-30s, or even if you're in your, you know, 20s or teens and learn a lot from our guests, screen cap the podcast, tag us, and we will reshare on our IG story. You can also find us on YouTube, where we have started posting some videos. Subscribe at Asian Boss Girl.
And thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all of her magic on our episodes, including this one. Catch you all in the next episode.
Later. Bye.